So it's Erev Shavuos, Tavshin, Samach Tes, almost next Thursday. We won't meet because it's really Erev Shavuos, Thursday night. So what we will be speaking about today are some aspects of Shavuos, specifically that it is David HaMelech's birthday. Now it's very strange. We know that Shavuos is 49 days, right? 49 complete days. In other words, the 50th day after we start counting the Sphira. So Shavuos doesn't have its own date. It's not Vav Sivan or Zion Sivan. Moshe added a day, remember? It's not known as, it doesn't have a date and a month. It's the 50th day once we count the Sphira. So David HaMelech is born not on a particular day and a particular month. David HaMelech is born on the 50th day after the Sphira. David HaMelech is born on Shavuos, which could be different days. Okay? Very interesting. His birthday is not linked to a particular time. It's Lamala Min Azman. And David HaMelech, we know, earned his years, was given 70 years from Adam. Obviously, there's a tremendous link. And what David HaMelech is known for is not just that he is the grandfather, great-great-grandfather of Mashiach, and the great-grandson of Rus, but the essence of what makes David HaMelech worthy to be Mashiach is David's ability to pray, Ani Tefillah, and Tehillim. So we'll speak about all of those things and how that is linked to Malchus, the essence of the king. David, Melech, Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim. What is Melech? But what we're going to do is we're going to develop all this in light of everything we've been learning. So let's review the points that we've been learning without going into detail. It's way too big, but the points. There's Perek Aleph in Bereishis, describing man, as we've spoken about, ideal man. Man whose das is complete. Das being a union between the higher abilities of reasoning and abstract thinking, chachma, which allows a person to grasp ideas that are way beyond the physical and do not relate to the physical body and its needs and its urges and its pleasures. Things that lead a person directly in contact with the mind of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The seed of that is the upper brain, lahavin ulahaskil, that we call that is the neocortex, right? The most, the top part of the brain. And interestingly enough, according to the biologists who speak about evolution, we don't speak about an accidental evolution, but we have no problem with describing a world that is billions of years old and where the species became more and more sophisticated as they were created. So interestingly enough, this brain, which we said is found in humans primarily, and it's the form we have it and its abilities, is scientifically the newest brain in terms of chronology. Anyway, then we said that the perfect person, that Tzelem Elokim in Perek Aleph, is a person whose chochmah, whose ability to think, and whose emotions, whose feelings, whose subjective feelings of good and bad, in other words, what drives them, their passions, their values, what they're excited about, what they put their energy into, the lave, right? The limbic system we spoke about, we'll go back to that, some interesting stuff. And the body itself are all going in one direction, and the body and its urges are completely subsumed. They have no identity other than what the lave and the seichel want. And the lave and the seichel want the same thing. And we spoke about the idea that in Perek Aleph, that person in that state who has pretty much aspaklari meira, clear vision, like Moshe Rabbeinu, who's at Tzelem Elokim, their perspective is exactly the same as God's perspective, has no issur from eating from the Eitz Hadas, because that person can allow his or her Eitz Hadas, which we described as the tree inside every person. There's an Eitz Chaim and Eitz Hadas, Eitz Chaim being the Seichel, Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikimba, the Torah, the truth, the subjectivity, the feelings, the emotions, the passions. That person can let their passions speak for them, drive them, react for them, because it's exactly the same as their chachmah. That's called das. Das is the combination of chachmah, the mind, and the heart all going in one direction, and the body dragged along. That's a state of being called das, the final state of being. Point of contact, total connection. Then we spoke about Perek Beis, and we made it clear it's not chronologically after Perek Aleph. It's not a different creation. It's telling you the real job we have to work with, the real, you know, effort we have to make. This is the reality. Kadosh Baruch Hu did not leave us in Perek Aleph state at all, never intended to. Perek Beis says, this is your reality, but What you're aspiring to is Perek Aleph, a state of Das. Perek Beis tells you, listen, you're Chomer, your raw material, you're Nefesh Chaya, you're an animal, you're Afer Min HaDama. Guess what in Perek Beis? You're not one. The Chachma and the heart is not one. It's separated. Isha and Isha, we talked about that, right? Tzur and Chomer, Isha and Isha. We spoke about that's Eitzad Chayim and Eitzad Das. That's in every person. You're not one. You have to be one. The Chomer, the Isha, right, the emotions has to be brought to the Seichel and has to work with the Seichel and be one with the Seichel, but they're not one automatically. It's a job. They're two. And on that conditions, be very careful. Don't eat from the Eitz HaDaas. Don't empower. Don't absorb. Don't let your emotions and your passions and your gut feeling and your instincts speak for you and drive you and tell you what's true and false, because it is not trustworthy, because it's not one with your chachma. So don't eat from the Eitz HaDaas, right? So that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu left them, with good advice. That's what Hashem, that's the guidelines for every person. But then Perek Gimel comes, and that's the Nachash. Now, everyone asks, what is it, a setup? They're already separated, chachma and lev. They're already not one, they're two. Already told they have to reunite, but they have to do it on their own. It's not automatic anymore. They're already told, be careful of your emotions and your subjectivity and your Eitz HaDaas, Tov and Ra. Remember we said Tov and Ra, good and bad, is subjective versus Emes and Sheker, which is objective truth. So they're set up. So Perek Gimel, it seems to me, okay, is not telling you a story about some ancient prehistoric, you know, ancestors of ours who sinned and we're all suffering the consequences. That is not what's happening in Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel is telling you the reality of every person's life story. In the beginning, what is going to happen is the Nachash, the body and its urges, the reptilian brain that cares about survival, the R-complex it's called, will assert itself. It will assert itself. And what is going to happen is it will make a play for the emotions, the value systems, the excitement, the drive, the passion. And it's going to try to get that in its grip. And you know what's going to happen? It will be successful. And in the youth of a person's life, the earliest stages, the nachash will get a grip on the emotions. The body and the emotions will be very linked. And what will happen to the das? It will die. It will not have that much of the power to assert itself, the chachma. That's what's going to happen. And that happened to the first Adam, who was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the prototype for every Adam. Then they're banished from Gan Eden. Their eyes are open first, but those eyes are not spiritualized. Those eyes are the eyes of subjectivity. Used to be that they had eyes, but it was to pick know when a fruit was ripe or not to trip over a rock. Now the eyes enhance their subjective opinions, which are very linked to their bodily desires. So you can rationalize everything. And then what happens is when the nachash, we said, gets the isha, when the physical drives get the passions, they take the mind with all its abilities of abstract thinking and they suck it right in, and the mind is used to come up with the most interesting, sophisticated, complex reasons why what the body wants and what the desires want is Tov and Emes. And the whole thing is one, and there is a certain knowledge in that, but it's knowledge going completely in the wrong direction. Everything is one, heading, but ultimately for self-preservation, instant gratification, pleasure, feeding the body, etc. So they're banished from Gan Eden. What happens? Listen to this. 2,000 years of tohu vavohu ensue. Chazal say the world is divided from 6,000 into three parts. 2,000 tohu vavohu, chaos. There's no das, there's no emes. 2,000 of Torah, which goes from the birth of Abraham, who starts the process of bringing the chachma back, to Chorban Bayis Sheni. It's called 2,000 years of Torah. The next 2,000 years are called 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach. That's going to be David HaMelech. 2,000 years. Now listen to this. This came to me. This is my opinion. You don't have to accept it. We always speak about a person's lifespan as 120 years. Divide that into three. The first 40 years of a person's life, the das is not predominant. What is predominant is the passion and the emotion and the nachash, and that brings the fire of youth, right? Year 2000 starts with Avraham, leads to Matan Torah. Matan Torah is the opening, finally, of the eyes of Klal Yisrael, of the Chochmah. Ata Haresa Ladas. You were shown it. Your eyes reopened, finally. Your Chochmah eyes reopened. Your Seichel, your Neshama eyes. And you saw Das, you got Das. And Matan Torah, Paska Zua Mashal HaNachash, the poison that the Nachash injected, finally is expelled, it's neutralized, we can see again, we see there's only one way and it's going up, and we respond by saying, Nasa v'nishma, we bind ourselves to this, we don't want to have any more conflict, we see that there's Einod Milvado, and we attach ourselves to it, and that's it, and the Chochmah starts to reassert itself. What does it say when a person turns 40? When a person turns 40, there's a new level of Chachma and Bina that a person is able to grasp if they let themselves. Interestingly enough, by the way, when does a person's eyes start weakening? Right around 40. 40 to 80, 40 to 80, the Chachma can reassert itself. The Das, there's a possibility if a person works on it when they're younger, that those years are time for Chachma. And what happens with those years is there's a slow diminishing of the body's appetites in general, of the passion and the hot-bloodedness that runs through a person and the emotions and the subjectivity. All revolution and changes for the youth, right? That's where it happens. When a person's 80, their body and its drives and the subjectivity, it all fades away and a person's able to see the emes. It's yemos ha-mashiach. It's when you don't really, it's when you have das. It comes to das already. And everything is clear. People are very clear about what are priorities and what's worth working on. And it's partially because they've gained Chachma and partially because the body itself is weakened. When the hormones and the glands subside that control us and drive us, the Chachma can reassert itself. So 2,000 years of Torah, 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach also in a person's life. Now, Adam HaRishon, is Zachar and Akeva, correct? And we said in this Adam HaRishon there is a Chachma and there's a Lev. The question is this, and we're going to answer it more towards the end. In the end, we all live. We've all lived. What drives a person more? What you know in your head to be true, what you've learned, or what you feel, what's instinct, what comes from inside of you? We all know what's stronger. The instinct. That's the woman, right? That's the chomer. That's the chomer being effort being applied to the chomer through the desires, the passions to create something, experience. That's really the woman, right? Very interesting in David HaMelech's development. In general, the rule is that the Torah says ki yikach ish isha. When a man takes a woman, and the Torah says. It doesn't say ki tilakach isha leish. It doesn't say when a woman takes a man. Mepnei because shadarcho shel haish. It's the way of the man lachzar el haish al haisha. He goes and finds the woman. Ve'ein darcho shel isha. It's not the way of a woman lachzar al haish to go and retrieve the man. It's like a person has something that he lost. He goes and finds it. So that the ish lost the isha, now we're speaking about that, right? And he's looking for it. So normally a man looks for a woman. But in David HaMelech's development, it's exactly the opposite. The daughters of Lot with their father, Tamar and Yehuda, and Rus and Boaz. What is that? That the isha knows that she has to make a play for, or go for, or recapture the ish. Very interesting, right? We're going to get back to that. What about this? The time of Matan Torah, Kosomar Lebeis Yaakov, Vesagid Lebnei Yisrael, you all know the explanation of that. You don't have to speak so harshly to the women. Why? Because intuitively, they know it already. They're closer. What about the Nashim Tzidkaniyos? What about the Chet HaEgel? What is that? What is, b'schus nashim tzidkanius nigalu, b'schus nashim tzidkanius asidin lehi ga'el? What is that? What's bina? Yisera meba'ish. She has more bina. What is that? So we're going to see that There's a lot, there's a transition, there's a whole historical process that is very interesting, and the transformation of the woman is very much part of the historical process. So let's start like this. We know that on Rosh Hashanah is the creation, that's Rosh Hashanah of the world. That's the world that Kadosh Baruch Hu created on the seventh day, as we start counting, where there's the Eitz HaChayim. We know we lost access to the Eitz HaChayim way back then. We know Shavuos, what happened? Asher, we make the bracha, Asher nasan lanu toras emes. What are the next words? V'chaye olam nata b'sochena. What happened on Shavuos? Chaye olam, eternal life, you planted. The Eitz HaChayim is replanted b'sochena in us. Remember what it said in Perek Beis? The Eitz HaChayim b'soch hagan. There was an Eitz HaChayim b'soch hagan in the gan. The gan is our psyche, right? In our head. But we lost access to it. At least for the first third of our existence. For the first 2,000 years. Shavuos, with the Gilui Shechina, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us a Torah's emes, pure truth, and replants Chaye Olam, the Eitz HaChayim, which gives us eternal life, because we said the point of contact with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, what lives on after us is our Das only, which is a total state of being of the connection of all powers, of Chachma and the Lev and the body all together. So on Shavuos, Chaye Olam Nata B'Sochein Hashem replants within us the Eitz HaChayim, right? The Eitz HaChayim is what ultimately we're all going to derive our eternal life from. That's a representation of Yemos HaMashiach, which is directly related to David, correct? David is because of Adam. Had Adam not sinned, there would have never been a David, right? David is the tikkun of Adam. David is known for being a melech, but David is also known for tefillah. In fact, David says, "Va'ani tefillah." I am tefillah. My essence is tefillah. What does it mean? What is the essence of tefillah? So here's what David HaMelech says. Now listen to the words. Now these words make a lot of sense. Va'anochi tolas. I am a worm. What is a worm? The most primitive, almost one of the most primitive versions of the nachash, right? More primitive than a nachash. All it does is eat its way through life, right? That's all it does. That's how it moves, that's how it eats. Anyochi tolas velo ish. I'm a tolas and not a ish. Not a tzura. Cherpas adam, a disgrace of an adam. What are the next words? Ubazoi and an embarrassment for a nation. David HaMelech looks around and feels intuitively, he knows it, that he's a cherpas adam. He's so far from an adam, which is an integrated seichel and lev and guf, calls himself a cherpas adam and a tolas and not a ish. And this David HaMelech says, I am tefillah. But Maisha Shapiro points out here that the essence of tefillah is one thing. Why do we daven? Not just have, give me this and give me that, I need whatever we make bakashas for. That's not the reason we daven. Hashem knows everything we need. What is the point of tefillah? What is the essence of tefillah? What do we mean when we say a person prays? They're praying to be an adam. That's what tefillah is. But Maisha Shapiro says it right here. Moshpir says this way. He says, but I underlined it. Here. This is the depths of David's self-depiction as prayer. He is not a man. His prayer is to be a man. He exists as a prayer. I am a prayer. David HaMelech is expressing what all human beings are meant to feel in their core when they look inside themselves and they see the conflict and the dichotomy. And David HaMelech is the king of the conflict, the whole issue with Bathsheba, though it wasn't Eishes Ish, but still was considered a disgrace for a person of his madrig, and he did tshuva continuously. David HaMelech is the one who feels intrinsically that he's nothing, that he has nothing to base his confidence on, that he could be called an Adam, and that is where tefillah emanates from. That is the essence of tefillah, and Chazal say here the following: Ma tolas, just like a worm, ein la ela peh, it only has a mouth, it just munches its way through life. Kein Yisrael ein lahem ela pihem, all we have is our mouth, is our tefillah. Interestingly enough, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the higher brain, lahavinu lahaskil, that's where the ability to speak comes from, to communicate abstract ideas, not just to feel. Every animal can feel, and therefore it doesn't need to communicate. More than that is the chachma. That needs to be communicated. You can't just feel it, and you can't just experience it. You have to be able to articulate it and know what it is. So the chachma is associated, the speech is associated with lahavinu lahaskil, tzalmeinu, kidmuseinu. And all a person has, therefore, in the end, what they use to aspire to the dominance of that is their tefillah. That's the highest form of speech, of speaking. That's the highest madrig of speaking, by the way. When people speak divrei Torah about ideas that they don't quite grasp, or say tehillim of words they don't understand, or teach a child songs when the child is 1 or 2 years old that come from our Torah and our tefillah, and you say, but I don't know what I'm saying, so does it have any impact? Yes. Just speaking words of Torah has an impact. It defines the personality of a person who's striving. Just to speak the words that come from the highest places. That should be our conversation. That's ornamental, by the way. That's a decoration. That's a form of kavod for a Jew. In any case, David HaMelech is known for tefillah, and he's known for melech. The Rosh HaTevas of melech: moach, lev, kaved, the liver. The liver meaning that where the blood is always, you know, cleansed, and it's the seat of, you know, it's considered, you know, like the bed of the blood, even though, of course, the spleen produces the blood, but the liver, you know, cleanses the blood and works the blood. So that's the body. That's the melech. David is melech, because David is always striving, in a sense, to do tikkun. It's a tikkun on what happened in the chet of Adam HaRishon. Now, what about David's strange ancestry? About the women seeking out the man. What is that? So we go back to Bereishis. It says, Vayip and Perek Beis, when the Chomer and the Tzur are separated, when Ish and Ish are not one, it says, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Esa Adam, Pasak Zayin, Perek Beis. Hashem formed. Formed is Yesh Me'ayin, taking into account Chomer, raw material, the guf. Right? And its drives, its demands. But there's two yuds in the word Vayitzer. Rashi says, Chazal say, for Olam Hazeh, and for Olam Haba. It's two, but they're going in one direction. They should be connected, but it's going to have to be through the effort of each individual to reconnect them. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Esa Adam, right? Afar min ha'adama, vayipach ba'apo nishmas chayim. The neshama, he blows, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blows through the nose. So the essence of the neshama is related to smell. Well, interestingly enough, in my obsession now with this whole concept, okay, the limbic system, which is the Isha, relates to the Isha, right? The instinct, the deep limbic system directly processes the sense of smell. The olfactory system is the only one of the five sensory systems that goes from the sensory organ directly to where it is processed in the brain. The messages from all the other senses, sight, hearing, touch, and taste, are sent to a relay station, the thalamus, before they are sent to their final destination in different parts of the brain. So it's very interesting that the neshama comes through the nose, whatever that means, through the sense of smell, whatever that means. It's telling us that if a person wants to be davuk by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, direct root is related to smell. Ketores, by the way. Women wear perfume. It's interesting. Men don't, really, right? I mean, now it's popular, but it's a more of a female thing. What does that mean? That might be saying, and there's a lot of substantiating proof, that the chomer, the drive, the instinct, the passion, is the direct route to Dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not really the Das. The Das is information. The Das is Chochmah. The Das you have to apply, you have to you reach into, you have to work with. But the Neshama is instinctual. The Neshama is a gut feeling. So maybe what we're saying is that the Isha, that aspect of the person, the Chomer, is really the natural source of Dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it brings the Das along. And it gives the it gives life to the Das, to the ideas. But it speaks first and more strongly and drives harder and is more intuitively connected. Interestingly enough, when the women, and now we go back to an idea we spoke about in the past, but it has new ramifications. When the women by the Egel didn't sin because they had they just knew whether it's gut or das that it was sheker and they didn't sin, what was their reward? Which is, by the way, very soon. When is Rosh Chodesh? Tonight, right? Sunday. So what was their reward? Rosh Chodesh. Now that's interesting, right? The moon and women. The moon, remember we go back to the moon for a minute here. The moon and the sun were the same size. My grandfather speaks about this, right? We have heard this. Let's rework it. The moon, the Medrash says, and Chazal don't speak in essay form, so you got to figure out what they're saying. The moon says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, two kings shouldn't share one crown. What does it mean? So here's what my grandfather says. He says, you have the sun, and you have the moon. The moon, my grandfather says, it seems to him from general indications, is associated with the Or Hagonos of the first day that only shown in Sheishis Meibrishis as the Or Hagonos La'asad Lavo for Tzadikim, the hidden light for Tzadikim. We're talking about the Shechina, Das. What Rambam, what we quoted, Nene Miziv HaShechina, Hasaga, grasping everything, opening up, seeing it all. The Or HaShechina, that's for Tzadikim in the future. My grandfather says that the moon was associated with the Or HaShechina. And the sun is associated with Teva, with nature and the physical world. There are two ways to come to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Through a super pervasive, clear Shechina that permeates the world. Perek Aleph, total Das, Moshe Rabbeinu, Tzelem Elokim, right? The Shechina pervading everything, which is what Chazal say when no Adam was created. He saw from one end of the world to the other, that's what it means. His heel was like the sphere of the sun, that's what it means. Everything we spoke about. Or through the physical world, through Perek Beis, through the sun. So what does Hashem say to the moon? You're going to be diminished. It's not going to be that easy. It's the same thing as separating Isha and Isha. Diminishing the moon is the same thing, the same concept, and expressed in another way. Diminishing the moon is the same idea as separating Ish and Isha. Zachar Nekeva, Tzur and Chomer. Das from the Chomer, from the raw material and the emotions. Same concept. Pinchas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says on Rosh Chodesh, aside from all, in Parshas Pinchas, aside from all the karbanos that you bring, bring one more. Chatas la Hashem. Reish Lakish brings down the Gemara. Al Shemiyatatiyas Halavana, because I diminished you. Bring me a karban chatas on Rosh Chodesh. Bring on my behalf a karban chatas, Hashem says, because I diminished the moon. Interesting. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes that by diminishing the moon, it's creating a void that has to be filled. And Hashem, so to speak, takes responsibility for it. Right? So just like the moon is diminished, and after the Sheishis and Meibrishis, it's that Shechina, that Das, isn't there anymore. They're already banished from Gan Eden, the Eitz HaChayim. Can't get to it, really, anymore. So too, woman, it seems to be, the Chomer, in other words, what they call the Chomer, we call the Lev. Right? The emotions, the drives, the sense of purpose, the excitement, right? What it takes to take, as we said, raw bits of metal don't just turn into an internet. You've got to apply force to them, and that takes enthusiasm and imagination and effort. You got to build it. So that's the Isha. By the way, let's just mention, Ish and Isha, one is Da, one is Chochma, one is Lev, together Das. It's not the personality of men and women. Every man has Zohar and Akeva, and Nachash, we said, at least Nachash for a while. And every woman has it. The reason why man and woman, man is Chochma, or Da, or you know, you might say the Seichel, and the woman is the Chomer, is the Lev, is because in biologically, the nekeva and the male and the female biologically in reproduction, the male contributes a moment, a potential, an idea, a possibility, and the woman instinctually, it's not a choice, builds it into something real. The life force enters the concept and it becomes alive. That's the zachar nekeva. So the nekeva always represents that emotion and the passion and the drive. So interestingly enough, it seems to be that that aspect, the Isha aspect, the Nekeva aspect, is the most immediate way to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the truest way. The what will drive a person further and faster is the emotion, the instinct, the yearning, the ratzon. The problem is that in the beginning, at least, for the first 2,000 years, it's in the hands of the Nachash, so it can't be trusted. It can speak the ultimate truth, but it can't be trusted when it's in the grip of the Nachash. So, the curse, which is not a curse really, but a statement of guidelines, El Ishech Chukasech, you must crave, you must yearn for the Ish, the Tzura, the Chachma. You can't speak for yourself, you can't have independence, you're in the grip of the Nachash. So Vahu Yim Shobach, he must dominate you, but forever? No. Only through the process till things change. Till women will be restored, Asidan Lehishadesh, Kmo Halavana. When the reason women are given Rosh Chodesh is because Chazal tell us, Asidan Lehishadesh, they will be renewed, restored like the Levana. There will be a time where what the woman represents will be the driving force to Dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but not yet, because it's in the hands of the Nachash, and the Yetzer Chaim is a little out of grasp, and therefore you can't trust it, you can't give it that type of power, can't eat from the Eitz Hadas in this state. And once we did eat from the Eitz Hadas, which everybody does in their youth, right, before, and they lose a little bit of the grip on the what eventually reasserts itself, the Chachma, the truth. So you have to let it be dominated by what you know. But there'll come a time that what you feel, what you instinctually know, your hakara, your inner sense of what's right and true, will be able to speak for itself. That's when the moon will be restored and woman will be restored. And so my grandfather brings this down in Kisisa, when the women refuse to bring, to give their jewelry, right? He says this thing. He says, brings a Gemara. Here's Divrei Chachamim. He says the following. In Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Chaf Aleph, talking about La'asid Lavo, the future. Ki bara Hashem chadasha ba'aretz. Hashem is going to create something brand new right here on this world. Nekeva tesovev gever. The woman will encircle the man. That's why some people walk around seven times, by the way. So the Gemara brings down that the woman will preserve the man from sinning. The woman will have the closest connection. The woman will be like a choma, a wall of protection around the man, but it's la'asid lavo. That the ratzon will speak for itself and can be trusted completely. And women, when they acted in that way in Mitzrayim and by the Egel, where they displayed that, they immediately got the schar, the reward of Rosh Chodesh. They're linked to Rosh Chodesh. Now, what's interesting is that David HaMelech is also linked to Rosh Chodesh. I need a siddur. I forgot to bring a siddur. The bracha. The bracha. We don't do Kiddush Levana, but when the men say Kiddush Levana, the bracha is, there's a hiratzon there, that the light of the moon should once again be restored as it was and should be as bright as the light of the sun. And here it is, 269. And should one day should be restored as it was. Here's Yiratzon. Yiratzon milfenecha Hashem Elokai velokei avasai lemalos pegimas halavana, to fill the void in the moon. Velo yiyeh bashum mir, it shouldn't have any diminution. Vayhi ar halavana ka'ar hacham, and the light of the moon should be like the light of the sun. Ka'ar shivas yimei bereshis, and like the light of shivas yimei bereshis, ar haganas, the shechina should be predominant, pervasive. Everyone should immediately understand it, feel it. It should be what, just like the sun lights up our world, so we get everything. A picture paints a thousand words. When you can see, you get it. So when the shechina is there, it's obvious, self-evident, it's us. Kmosha haisa kodem yuta, like it was before you diminish it. Shenemar eshnei hamaoras hagadolim, it quotes the pasuk, they were both big. Now look at the next words. V'yiskayim banu mikra shekasev, and it should be, there should be a kiyum, it should be fulfilled through us what is written. Ubikshu es Hashem elokechem, you shall search for, you should be mevakesh Hashem ves David malkam, and David your melech. That's right here in Kiddush Levana. Very interesting. Rabbi Shapiro points out that he just mentions this to just fit into what we were saying. In David HaMelech's case, the Ish is not looking for the Isha. It's not that the Chochma is going and getting back a hold on the Lev, right? In the case of David HaMelech, it's the woman that finds the man, which means beyond the physical, which means in the philosophical. It's the Bina Yisera. It's the intuitive Dveikus that speaks first, that drives, that decides, that knows what is right and reattaches it, goes to reconnect to it. It's very strange in David HaMelech's life. And this produces David HaMelech, who becomes Tefillah, who then produces Melech HaMashiach, which brings the restoration of women and the restoration of the moon. David HaMelech, we said, is born on Shavuos. Right? All of these ideas pull together on Shavuos. When we talk about the time of Matan Torah, what we're speaking about is, as we said, a moment where the clarity reasserts itself and the intuitive knowledge of the person is the same as what they know, what they've been taught. Their hakara, that's the word for intuitive knowledge, their bina, is the same as their yediyah, as their das, as what they know. This is this state of completion. Is called das, by the way. This state of connection, like it's das, is the connection of all the levels. That's why when a man and a woman are together physically, it's called das. Va'adam yada eschava. It's a point of connection of all the levels. Das is a state of being that we arrive at when we are completely integrated on all the levels. So for a moment, everyone says, but Perek Aleph didn't last. Kabbalah Satorah, the impact didn't last. They did the Egel 5 minutes later. I'm exaggerating, but right, you know, a few days, 40 days later. That's exactly the MS. It never is supposed to last. It's a glimpse of what we're aspiring to. And by the way, you can go down the whole road that Chazal go down of comparing the Chet of Egel to the Chet of Eitz Hadas. It's a ton of comparisons. And, but it's a moment that gives us a glimpse of our highest aspirations, of the unity, of what an Adam is. And then we go through the work. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Atem Yisrael, Keruyim Adam. You, Klal Yisrael, are called Adam. Ve'ein Akum, Ovdei Kochavim, right, Umazalos, those that worship don't worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Einam Keruyim Adam. They're not called Adam. Now you know what that means. It doesn't mean we're human and no one's human. Pirkei Avos says, Chaviven Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. Everybody's a Tzelem, right? Every human being, right? What that means is that Klal Yisrael are called Adam because we understand what an Adam is. It's a complete combination of all three. We've agreed through Nasa V'Nishma to aspire to that. We get the name Adam. David spends his whole life saying, "Bani Tolas v'lo ish cherpas Adam." But that lifts David the Melech up into the status of Melech, and we ultimately say that when the moon is restored, women are restored, the power of women, the Bina Yisera, are restored. So that's the time of David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. By the way, just something really interesting. Let me just read you a couple of things here, okay? As mentioned above, current research has demonstrated that females have a larger, deep limbic system than males. Okay? It says here that this part of the brain, the limbic system, is intimately connected with the prefrontal cortex and seems to act as a switching station between running on emotion and rational thought and problem solving. And here he talks about something very interesting. There's lots of interesting stuff here. Very interesting stuff. Really, smell, bonding, and sexuality and the deep limbic system are intimately connected. That's why he talks about the nachash having relations with Chava. Doesn't mean physically. It doesn't mean physically. It means a bond between the nachash and the desires. In any case, this idea goes on and on and on. It comes up in so many places. And remember what we said. We said, let's just end with this point. It's very strange. Somebody pointed this out. The Eitz Hadas is also called Das. Eitz Hadas Tovara is also called Das. And we said Das is a point of contact of all things, right? And Das is also, like Rambam says, Olam Haba, truth, it's Nen and Yiziv Hashchin is only through the Das. So it comes to the idea of Chayrus, freedom. We say when we got the Luchos, the words were Charus, engraved on the Luchos. What do we, Chazal, say? Don't call it Charus, engraved, call it Chayrus. But there are two types of freedom. And you might say two types of Das. If Das is the connection, the contact of all systems. There's a freedom in a person totally satisfying and indulging every immediate urge that comes up in them. There's a certain freedom in that. A certain power, a physical vitality in that. Living, like they say, to the life, to the max, right? There's a certain knowledge of every part of the body engaged, every part of the brain, including the most abstract reasoning part, engaged in figuring out ways to indulge more and to rationalize them and enjoy them. And go look around society, everybody's enjoying it. Nobody's having second thoughts, very few people. It's certain freedom from all constraints of the Das, of the Chachma. Freedom from the Seichel. Freedom from the Neshama. That's one type of total Das. It's called Eitz HaDas Tovara. But the Das, that's not the Das we're after, because Rambam says, as we spoke about last week and when he spoke about Hashgacha Pratis, that a person who has no Tzura, doesn't use their Chachma to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is not a human being. So that type of life is animal life. But Moshe Shapira says in this week that that's non-existence. And there's no greater pain that a person can experience than non-being, than to be irrelevant. We've spoken about it psychologically. If you tell a person you're irrelevant, nothing you ever did matters. It's purposeless that you ever lived. Nobody cares. You came and went for nothing. You have, what will that person do? Say, oh, thank God, because nobody needs me, nobody cares for me, I can do whatever I want. No. The person will get hostile and angry and refuse to accept it and want to hurt you and hurt themselves, kill everyone around them. Non-being is the most painful thing, and it's the opposite of Chaya Olam Haba. The lack of Olam Haba is the essence of non-being. The lack of developing the Chachma into Das, into Tzura, into connecting with the neshama is the essence of non-being and the essence of pain. The essence of no olam haba, what you might call Gehenna. But being, existing, is the other kind of das. It's chaye olam. That's eternal life. That's existence. Tzadikim afilu b'misasim are chayim. Tzadikim, when they're dead, are chay. Rishayim, when they're chay, they're dead. When they're alive, they're dead. That's what it means. That das is another form of liberation, but it's liberation from the grip of the nachash and liberation for the gut to speak for itself, the instinct, the bina yisera, the what we just know intrinsically, not only what we're taught from the outside, to speak for itself, to be trustworthy, to drive the person, and to be the identity of the person. And that type of das lives on forever. That's the closer and closer to levels of Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah and connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the das we're striving for. And that's what we get a moment of recapturing on Shavuos, on the time of Matan Torah. All right, everyone. We will have a good Yontif.